For January 25th, 2018, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 222. I'm Matt Cleave, a senior developer at Lullabot. With me, as always, senior front-end developer, co-host of the show, Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Reroll that patch.
Yes, reroll that patch. What does that mean?
Well, it's Drupal speak for you did it wrong and you need to do it right. And turns out that that's not exactly the way people talk anymore.
Yeah.
But there's a movement going on to change our vocabulary, right? To upgrade it.
Yeah, something more modern.
To the 21st century! And we've got some people on the line today to talk about tooling on Drupal.org.
Yep. First up, we got Tim Lennon. He's the Director of Engineering at the Drupal Association, Hestinet, on Drupal.org. He's been on Drupal.org for almost 12 years, or probably over 12 years now, from Northeast Portland. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks very much for having me. And I want to say thank you to Lullabot as well for hosting this podcast, keeping the community informed, and for being a Drupal Association premium supporting partner. You and other organizations are a really big help to us and help fund all the cool work we're going to be talking about today. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just get the warm fuzzies when I hear that.
Yep.
Also with us today, we have senior technologist with the Drupal Association. He's Drum on Drupal.org, where he's been for over 13 years with a user ID with four digits, starting with a 3 in Brooklyn. Joining us today, we have Neil Drum. Hey, Neil.
Hi, glad to be here.
Awesome. Hey, you two were both here back in March, episode 207. We talked about the infrastructure Drupal.org ran on and your role with the DA in doing that. So welcome back. Glad you're here.
Thanks. I think last time we were talking about some retooling of the infrastructure, some new partners we brought on and things like that. And hopefully your experience has been like ours and things have been running pretty smooth since then.
Well, if you do it right, we don't notice, right?
Exactly. Yep.
But if you do it wrong, oh boy.
Then Twitter explodes.
You know, there have been a series of blog posts that I found on Drupal.org, and we'll make sure we'll link these to the show notes, to kind of talking about modernizing the workflow for people who are working on Drupal. And what kind of was the impetus behind that? Where do we stand now? Somebody want to kind of just give a situationer, like what's going on?
Sure. Let me go ahead and give the basic stance here. This is a conversation we've had over multiple iterations over close to 10 years, really, about how we how the Drupal community builds Drupal, how we build the software, the way that we've built our processes predates when GitHub was a thing. It predated Git, for that matter. And so there's been a long ongoing conversation of you know, when is the right time to say to go rerolling patches is 20th century and pull requests are 21st century, and how do we get those on Drupal.org? So really, Neil is the one who knows kind of the whole history here and can talk about it going back really to the beginning.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about the history. How did Drupal start off? I know we were, I think, initially under CVS. Is that right?
Yep. It used to be two CVS repositories, one for Drupal core and one that all of the modules piled into. So if you got access to maintain a module, you could technically go maintain all of the modules, which, you know, there were maybe like 50 of them at the time. And occasionally Dries would, you know, commit stuff to all of the modules to keep up with updates, keep stuff compatible with, it's like APIs changes in core. Yeah, since then, around 2010, we completed the move to Git. I don't know the exact dates, but we've been talking about pull requests in some form or another since, you know, really during that migration.
I remember reading about the great Git migration, which I always like have this awesome vision in my head of like, you know, Buffalo going across the plain, but Git, I don't know.
Is it like an Oregon Trail reference?
Yeah, something like that.
The great Git migration. Yeah,
that's pretty much the same thing I get in my head. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you look at the logs of a contributed module, you'll find that there's a commit message in many of them, at least the ones that existed at the time, talking about the great Git migration when the code was brought into the Git repository on Drupal's infrastructure.
So what does the workflow currently look like? If I want to contribute to a Drupal module or Drupal core, what do I have to do?
So as we talked about kind of at the beginning, it's sort of a patch-based workflow. And I think, Neil, why don't you run us through kind of the beginning to end of from issue to commit?
You know, at the start, there's a bunch of, you know, finding issue and work on and understanding it and everything. And then once you're to the point where you want to, you know what you're doing and writing some code or testing some code or anything like that, you pull down a copy of Drupal from Git and start hacking on it. Maybe apply patches from previous iterations of the
sort of test all that locally.
Yeah, test it locally. Get your development environment working. Yeah, once it works, there is a Git command, Git diff, and that outputs a patch which you upload to the issue queue.
Yeah, so a patch is basically just a text file with a dot patch extension. So you do your git diff and a little arrow thing, and you output that to a file that has the issue number dot patch. And at that point, you just you go to the issue, you browse to it, and at that point, you can upload it, right?
Yeah, it's uploaded as a regular file next to all of the screenshots and everything else if they're, if it's something visual.
I remember a couple of years ago, there was a little bit of changes to that where now all the patches show up at the very top of the issue queue as opposed to in line with the comments.
Yep, that would have been with the Drupal.org redesign, which I think was 2008-ish. It was a couple years before the Git migration.
Gotcha. I thought it was a lot more recent, but it doesn't matter.
And regardless, developers are still passing around these patch files.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The process today is still someone uploads a patch, someone downloads it, manually applies it locally, tests it, decides something's wrong with it, changes it, uploads the new version, marks the old one obsolete, rinse and repeat until they feel like they've got something worth doing. And then we set the issue to needs review, and people will use, a third-party tool like the browser extension Dreditor that the community's been maintaining for a long time to go in, do code review, leave comments, and if they verify that all that's working, we get an RTBC, and then our core maintainers or our project maintainers go in, and they're the ones who would go through and commit that code. So it's completely familiar to people who were around in the listserv era of open source contribution, but it's not what folks are used to these days.
Yeah. So, as a developer on a project, I'm definitely in the GitHub repo, and Wikipedia tells me that GitHub's been around since 2008. And their pull request process has really kind of improved workflows for a lot of people as far as, I have a branch and I push that branch and these are my changes. And then I create a pull request and somebody can come in and do that review, look at my code, see what I could have done differently, and then merge it back in, with a nice point and click interface too.
Totally. So what is a merge request or a pull request, Matt Cleave, just for those who might not know?
Sure. It's essentially that diff file presented in a pretty way. And since it's on a separate branch, usually, Mike, you can check out my branch locally within your repository and test those changes locally, or just look at my merge request using the pretty, stuff on the screen and perhaps create inline comments saying, Matt, on line 9, you really screwed up there, and review it, right?
Makes sense. And it takes away a lot of the manual drudgery of uploading an actual text file, keeping track of your text files,
totally,
going through that whole workflow. Yeah.
So we want to be better on Drupal.org, right? We want to actually get into the modern era and kind of go that direction is what it sounds like.
Yeah. And I think talking about the goals just on a high level is we want to have that sort of familiar style of merge request workflow where you can open a merge request from your, we'll just use the generic term development workspace, back to the canonical repository for the module or for core or something like that. We want you to have that inline editing capability, code review capability, all those features that you come to expect from using tools like GitHub, like GitLab, like Bitbucket, whatever kind of code contribution tools you use these days. And at the same time, there's a few things about the Drupal workflow that are kind of unique to the way we do things at Drupal. So as we were doing our evaluation, we're like, okay, which of these tools can preserve that notion of a single threaded contribution flow where one person sort of starts with the ball, gets the work to a certain point, and then someone else picks up the ball, keeps going, and we work on a solution. Because one of the challenges in the past is that the kind of standard GitHub model is a forks of forks of forks model. And you usually wind up with just a single person working on a fork and then that one being, and then the maintainer's picking from five different forks which one actually goes back and belongs in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drupal's a bit unusual in that it's pretty common for multiple people to work on a single issue, at least in core. Contrib, those are smaller projects. They get they're more close to the kind of average open source project on the internet.
Yeah. So, about 18 months ago, we decided, let me step back further. So probably 3 years ago, there was another push to say, hey, GitHub's come a long way since 2008. Is that now a viable option? And there was a lot of analysis and things. And I believe, Angie Byron Webchick did a lot of the vetting and organization and community feedback around that time. And it sort of stalled out. People kind of decided the tools weren't quite ready for Drupal's needs. And so really now 18 months ago, we've decided to pick it up again just because, GitHub has been evolving even more. GitLab is now on the scene and becoming very popular and rapidly iterating on their tools. Bitbucket has been evolving quite a bit and there's been a big investment in their tools. So we decided the time was right to do another round of evaluation. And so putting that together, we had ourselves on the Drupal Association team. We had a couple key volunteers. I want to call out Michael Hess as one who's been extremely helpful. And then we had a committee put together by the board, the technical advisory committee, and that had Moshe, Angie, and Steve Francia, who were all there to kind of help guide our thinking, vet kind of the research that we had done, and let us know, hey, are we off base? Are we on base? Is this going in the right direction?
So what are the requirements? What do we need?
That's a great question. As simply put as I can make it, is we need a developer workflow that's familiar to everybody outside our community. Merge requests, pull requests, whatever we call it, it has to be that thing that person who'd learned how to code on GitHub knows how to use. Then we need, in addition to that, the ability to preserve the many-to-one collaboration, the idea of many developers collaborating on a single solution to a problem. We also want to preserve things like, we have special taxonomies in our issues for things like the notion of being RTBC, reviewed and tested by the community. We want to try and preserve that if we can. We want to try and preserve our credit system because Drupal is kind of actually a leading open source ecosystem in terms of the fact that we have a crediting system for individuals and organizations when it comes to code contributions. So from a sort of workflow requirements perspective, those are the main things. And there's some technical requirements as well, but those are not quite as critical in the initial evaluation.
Does it matter where the software lives?
It does to a certain degree. And it depends also on the vendor. At the moment, we would still like to have retention of our data. There's a few reasons for that. One is just, as an open source project, we want to have control. If we partner with someone who's venture funded and they disappear, we want to make sure that we've already been able to get that data where we needed it. There's all sorts of reasons and risk to using hosted solutions. And there's also risk to hosting it ourselves in terms of maintainability, scalability, and all of that. So that's a balance. And it was part of the decision-making process for sure.
Neil's really smart and gets open source. Can't we roll it ourselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that was definitely one of the options on the table.
An option? I mean, that seems like a lot of work.
Neil, why don't you talk about that?
For actual work, it's not that much different depending on roll it yourselves or work with the tool. tool will certainly bring in some nice things that we'll get sort of for free, but the migration into it and maintaining those integrations will still be something to maintain. The real danger is, we're a pretty small staff on the engineering team, and we have careers. At some point, one of us might get another job, and if it's this kind of one-off contraption that only one person understands, that's a bit of a risk.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
So let's, you talked a little bit about the evaluation criteria with the like pull requests and the, kind of many to one. Have we considered changing that entire workflow, maybe doing the multiple pull request thing, or just kind of going to something that's more standard across the industry?
That's a really good question, and it's something we've discussed a lot throughout this process. So the first thing I will say is what we're going to wind up with, even in the initial transition, is going to feel pretty close to those standard processes. It's going to have a few things that sort of encourage us to or facilitate us doing things in the traditional Drupal way better, but it's still going to be possible to have multiple pull requests for multiple kinds of proposed code solutions on a single issue. I think there's kind of a workflow separation that's not very well understood between the Git workflow and even the pull merge request workflow and kind of the issue management workflow in terms of understanding proposed solutions, understanding the current problem, and threading the conversation. So there's a couple issues there. When it comes to contrib, for example, we could pretty much stand up a GitLab instance create a dedicated GitHub account or something, and contrib could totally live there. We'd lose our concept of contribution credits and a few other nice to have features and things like that, but it would totally work for the contrib space. It gets a lot more complicated for core. Cores are use case where we want to meet their needs while meeting contrib's needs, so that we're not maintaining two wholly separate workflows. So that was one of our really big challenges, is figuring out how to accommodate core's needs together with contrib's needs. And that led to, I expand upon this in the blog post, but that led to this notion of, okay, let's deploy a system that uses, GitHub, GitLab, or Bitbucket, one of those three options, on the back end for the Git repo management, for the merge request management, for the inline editing, for the code review. But let's retain our current issue queues so that those processes that are in place primarily for core, but also for contrib and also for our current CI and things like that, won't be interrupted, so that we have a 6-month release cycle. And when we do a big tooling transition, we need to be able to do most of the back end and tooling part first. And then we need to start thinking about, are there other pieces that we can use? Could we use a different CI system and hook that up to the existing Drupal CI system in some way? Could we enable other features that we're not going to start out using? Could we use the Kanban boards or other features that are provided by some of these tools? So part of it is we don't want to interrupt our release cycle by pulling out the rug from under everybody. And part of it is we want to kind of progressively transition the community over to these tools.
So just to make sure I understand this properly, Drupal.org would continue to hold the actual issues, have the buttons that actually do all the actions, but the back end of it would be hosted by GitLab, Bitbucket, GitHub, et cetera. Is that correct?
Yep. And another reason for the us wanting a kind of the canonical copy of each repository is stuff like the left pad thing a few months ago, or I think one of them had another instance of packages being substituted for different packages. I don't know how much we want to call them out, but we have more restrictive rules for like what could be deleted or renamed on Drupal.org than third-party hosted things.
Yeah, and that's not to that's not to say that you would never see the user interface of some of these third-party hosted tools. Again, when you were doing, you know, the merge request flow, you'd be seeing the Bitbucket UI or the GitLab UI. If you were doing code review, you'd be doing that with those code review tools. So you'd have a sort of mashup between the issue queues and these third-party tools in this first iteration.
So the list, the GitHub, the GitLab, the Bitbucket, those are kind of our three last standing options. I read the blog post where it talks about each of them, but that was kind of what it came down to?
That's what it came down to. And to be totally honest, where we actually started was, you know, just keep going with homebrew custom tools and GitHub and GitLab. Bitbucket wasn't even on the list at the beginning of this 18-month long process. Those were the things that started. And it's been an interesting sort of series of conundrums. There's all the technical requirements. There's all the workflow requirements. And then there's some like philosophical requirements with Leech. For example, GitHub is used for all these open source projects, but it's not itself open source. GitLab is open source for its community edition, although its enterprise edition also exists and is only source available. Bitbucket has more than a decade of providing licensing for their software to open source projects, but they're also not open source, just a sort of source available project. So we have those concerns to think about as well, looking at these three sort of options.
I didn't realize, I guess, GitLab was an open source project itself.
It is. GitLab's community edition is available open source and hosted on GitLab. Their EE, their enterprise edition, has some additional features and support that are not open source. So
I want to back up a little bit. Going back to when you mentioned that Contrib could fit on something like GitHub pretty easily, why not keep Contrib separate from Core? And the reason I'm asking is, you know, one of the main drivers behind this initiative is just to onboard new developers, new Drupal developers in general. And new Drupal developers coming in are not going to be doing core patches. They're going to be doing Contrib. Has that been considered?
Yeah, we talked about that actually. And there's a few reasons we don't think we want to go down that path. Reason number one is maintainability of having two different code contribution landscapes. And that notion that, okay, for example, a lot of times issues are opened against a Contrib module that are actually core issues and need to be moved from one to the other. You know, that's the kind of thing that would become a manual process or we build a tool for if they were using two different processes. There's also the point Neil raised earlier about, you know, the level of security, the notion of things being moved out from underneath people, the notion of people suddenly relying on and depending on modules that are in somebody's personal namespace fork rather than the canonical ones. So there were some things there. And then lastly, we actually think it's not necessary. We think we can do it to provide Contrib. It's going to take some work, but I think we can reach a point where we can provide Contrib with that much easier, more familiar workflow and accommodate Core. And it's going to take this kind of progressive process to get there. But after 18 months of looking at this, we think we can get it done.
Yeah, and I'd say this is not something to attract new developers. Like, you know, if you're working with Drupal, hopefully you're doing it because of the platform and community and something you want to work on. But you know, this will let people hit the ground running when they do decide to there's something they want to fix with Drupal.
Yeah, it'll increase velocity and it'll lower barriers to entry. I think would be a better way to put it.
So we've mentioned the big three, the GitHub, the GitLab, the Bitbucket. Let's talk about each of those coming up right after this and talk about kind of the way forward and where we're moving.
Your local Drupal community is the place to get involved and hone your chops. And coming up in February, the community has the U.S. covered coast to coast. February 3rd and 4th, you have your choice between Drupal Camp New Jersey in Princeton or the Pacific Northwest Drupal Summit in Portland, Oregon. And President's Day weekend, February 16th, 17th, and 18th, slide on down to Florida Drupal Camp in Orlando. There's plenty more on the horizon across the globe, so head on over to drupalpal.com to find your nearest local event or meetup. Or, if you're ready to level up but can't make the trip, point your browser to drupalize.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.
Welcome back. We're talking about Drupal.org tooling with Tim and Neil from the Drupal Association.
You know, for about 7 years now, Mike, I've heard, why don't we just put it all on GitHub?
Yeah, why not? GitHub sounds great. Everybody knows how to use it. Didn't they invent Git?
No, Linus invented Git.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was, a horrible joke. It's a common misperception.
No, but truth is, it's a question we get a lot. And it's definitely a question the community has struggled with for years. And you know, there's a few reasons for that. I would say, you know, 5 years ago, GitHub was kind of lacking in features. 3 years ago, GitHub thought they were the only game in town. 2 years ago, GitLab showed up on the scene and started adding all sorts of new cool stuff to their product. And GitHub sat up and said, oh, wait, we've got to start improving this. And now, you know, they've made a bunch of great improvements, but they're still in an interesting position in terms of their model. We had a lot of internal conversations with the GitHub team. For example, we talked about the fork workflow versus Drupal's workflow. They talked about some kind of just interesting regrets they had about how they'd internally kind of built up their system and some of the problems we talked about in the first half where it comes to forks of forks of forks and things moving around and things getting deleted that are dependencies and all sorts of stuff they didn't predict when they were first building their tool. But when it comes down to it, the reason we can't use GitHub is we want to be able to retain control of data because the Drupal project has a tighter control over module management because of our security team practices, because of a few other reasons. And there's only two ways to solve that, really. One would be if GitHub allowed us to run our own instance as a public instance, but that's currently, you know, some of their tech guys are like, you know, that would be cool. We'd love to do that. But their legal team doesn't do that. They want the GitHub experience to only live on GitHub itself. Living on GitHub itself would be okay, but we'd totally lose that control. A fork of Drupal core would be one click away into some random namespace. Community conduct enforcement, all this other kind of stuff would just be very, very difficult if we simply move things just to a straight hosted solution. Okay, so for all those reasons, we can't use GitHub right now. We don't have that control of data. We can't protect our community from dependencies on forks that we, you know, unmaintained modules that we can't reassign, security concerns in terms of the security team being able to do review and important things like that. But there's these other options in the landscape. And GitLab, I think, is the one that has the most sizzle, the most curb appeal. I think people are really excited about it. It's being used by a lot of freelancers and a lot of enterprise organizations. It feels very familiar to people who've used GitHub. They've got a ton of VC funding recently, and they're moving really, really, really fast. So fast that it can occasionally lead to some problems, which I'll get into in a bit. And then the other one is kind of a old standby that doesn't quite have that same curb appeal, but is a really sophisticated, well-maintained, well-documented tool, which is Bitbucket.
So let's talk about GitLab real quick, if you don't mind. Let's jump in there. So I was on a project where they ran their own instance of GitLab, and it seemed to work, you know, as expected. It had the features that I came to expect out of GitHub and a couple other niceties. I remember before GitHub came out with a similar feature, I was able to fix a merge conflict directly in my browser and edit the files and push that commit, and it was really slick.
Yeah, no, it has several things like that. The inline editing tools are quite good. Code reviews are quite good. Their pipelines features are really pretty excellent in terms of, you know, whether you're using that for CI purposes or other kinds of workflow pipelines. And, you know, they added issue boards and kind of a number of other things. They're trying to be kind of a comprehensive tool suite, a monolithic tool suite for code collaboration. And that's great, and they're moving really quickly in that direction, but that kind of monolithic attitude is where we ran into some problems. And again, we worked with their team for most of that 18 months. We had direct contacts with them, all that kind of stuff, to talk about some of these issues. And so for us, there's a few places where we ran into some trouble. One is, for the same reasons I mentioned for GitHub, we wanted to self-host rather than use their cloud version. So we did things like standing up prototypes and creating prototype integrations with Drupal.org. And we got a lot of things working reasonably well, but we ran into some problems. Like, for example, the SSH key management and controlling whether that was related to your D.O profile, so we could keep it related to other commit history and issue credits. Being able to only control it via API rather than let people edit their user profiles and wind up with different keys in different places. Like, there's no sort of, at the moment, their system isn't architected for pluggable, componentized use of the software, which is really what we would need. So turns out that as I was drafting my blog post, they were drafting, and by they, I mean Sid, the CEO, and some of his team over at GitLab, were drafting kind of a new vision for a plugin architecture for GitLab. So my blog post goes up, and Sid, the CEO of GitLab, shows up in the comments and says, hey, wait. I know you said not yet for us, but let's talk. We've got some new stuff coming. So that's going to be really interesting, and we've been talking to them a little bit more since then. Because with a plugin architecture, that would let us do that phase deployment we talked about sort of in the first half. We can pick and choose. We want to start using their merge requests. We want to start using their code review tools. We want to keep our issues for now, but maybe later we want to turn on some of their CI tools, or we want to turn on one of their other features, and it lets us do it in that progressive way. It would also, you know, something like a plugin architecture would let us, if we eventually went to using their issues, have a contribution credit system, right? That's something we would lose if we use anybody else's issues. And so that's really important.
So is that something that GitLab is definitely doing? Are they currently working on it? Do they have a timetable?
They are currently working on creating a plugin architecture. And we've talked about what the scope of their plugin architecture will include, how much of the UI you can affect by writing your own plugins, what you can turn on, what you can turn off, what's accessible, you know, what you can extend in the API. We've had some initial conversations there. I can't give you an exact timeline, and I don't want to speak for them because, you know, I was talking on some internal calls, so I don't want to go into any details that they might not want to make public. But they're moving on that very aggressively. As far as I can tell, it's pretty much their next product priority, and they seem to do major releases almost every 2 months or so. So we'll see.
It sounds like they want to work with us. That's a good sign.
They do. They seem very motivated to work with us. You know, it was kind of a first for me to have the experience of, you know, the CEO of a major venture capital funded organization show up in a comment thread on my blog post and email me and be like, hey, can we just get on the phone like right now?
That says a lot, though.
It does.
The fact that they want to work with us, you know, means that they're going to be able to facilitate some of this work. You know, they're going to be able to make things easier on us and that we're valued.
Yep. And so now that has made me take a little step back after our blog post series and say, okay, we need to seriously think about this again. But let me give a sort of comparison, though, of the things that we're considering right now. So like I said, we were really bullish on GitLab earlier in this evaluation process. It was kind of our leading contender for quite a while. We were going into full prototyping, again, with ML Hess's help in the community. We were trying to get a kind of full dev site integration, get as far as we could with that, and see what we would run into. And for example, because GitLab is this really fast-moving organization going very, very quickly, officially they support MySQL as the database backend for their tool. However, halfway through our prototype, they pushed an update, and their latest update broke about four different features nuked our installation that we were in the middle of prototyping with, right? So they're one of these organizations that's in a position where sometimes they're moving a little too fast. And we've also had issues where APIs that we needed turned out they were there, but they were undocumented, or some of them were missing. So we had some concerns about sort of project stability and product maturity just because of the rate of change at which they move. And we were balancing that against, you know, they're really committed. They want Drupal to be on their platform. So it's been an interesting series of conversations, and it's actually still kind of an ongoing conversation at this point.
In your blog post, you were high on Bitbucket, it sounded like, which is the third option from Atlassian, right? They're the folks who make Jira.
Yep.
And I know that Bitbucket is, you know, a similar project to all of these three, and it has really tight Jira integration, which you use Jira for your ticketing side of things. And if your code integrates with that, it works great. Then that's all I know about Bitbucket. So why is that good?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. So, you know, kind of like I said at the beginning, we weren't considering Bitbucket from the get-go because, again, we have the same perception that I think a lot of people who've worked in development in kind of a corporate environment do of Atlassian products, which is, you know, there's this suite and it's a different tool for every element that you want to use. And it can be a pain and it's Java-based and sometimes it's slow and blah, 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 blah. We have these kind of preconceived notions about what it is. And then we were at Midwest Drupal Summit in August, and we were having this heart-to-heart conversation. And by we, I mean myself, Neil, Michael Hess, Angie, some of the core folks like XJM, just sort of sitting around a table, Peter Willannon, and saying, okay, we've stood up this GitLab prototype, and it's like 90%, but it's not 100%. And there's some hard blockers. It can't handle deduplication of Git repositories on the infrastructure side. So we'd have 200 terabytes just to cover core issues if there was one fork for each core issue. And like, you know, we had all these things. So it's like, it's almost works, but it doesn't quite. What the hell are we going to do? We don't want to come back to the community and say, hey, we've done another 18 months and we just have nothing to show for it. And so sitting around the table, we said, well, there is another tool out there. Bitbucket's out there. People use it. We've used it internally for a few things, like a makefile repository, basically, private makefile repo for D.O builds. So why don't we try and stand that up and take a look at it? And it turned out that they've done quite a bit with it. It's a pretty remarkable tool in terms of being modular in ways that these other tools aren't, having a kind of API first architecture. So their UI just simply consumes an API that's available to everything else. So it's very, very, well, the word easy is not right, but it's very possible to use API hooks to connect into kind of any part of that system. The code review tools are great. The inline editing tools are great. I would say they're just as good as GitLab's. And it has some neat features when it comes to merge and pull requests, like automatic rebasing of a branch against its parent so that it doesn't go stale. And you can kind of configure interesting options like that. So it has some things that we could integrate it without having to just pick up and throw something away, without any compromises, and without any, oh gosh, we wish that wasn't broken, but we're going to do it anyway. And that's where we wound up at the time of that blog post at the end of last year.
Yeah, API first, pluggable. Those sound like good things for somebody who wants to extend something.
Yep.
Did you end up having a conversations with the Bitbucket team similarly to what you did with GitHub and GitLab?
We had some conversations. They weren't quite as in-depth. So Michael Hess is one of the volunteers we work closely with, has some connections over there. So we sort of telephoned through him a little bit. But also, we had less questions. It was so well documented, and we were just able to stand up a prototype so quickly that there was less of us having to go and say, hey, can you change your product to fit our needs or allow licensing kind of things. Neil, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, there was someone from Atlassian. I forget what their title was. They showed up in the comment section of the blog post too. I think they were a developer evangelist or something.
Yeah, or,
like that.
Or even product director or something like that. So they've certainly reached out as well. They're, I would say, also hungry to support a community like ours. So that puts us in an interesting place, right? So I'm sure before we started this conversation, you know, we had the blog post to go on, and it was like, hey, well, we're probably going to move to Bitbucket as this interim solution, but Maybe we'll look at GitLab again sometime in the future, was kind of a conversation. And now, you know, we're not ready to say, hey, we've changed our minds or anything, but now we're having a few more conversations, and we might take another look at some things, depending on what happens. So
if I were Monty Hall and not a statistics professor, and I told you now you have four doors to choose from, at some point you have to choose the door to be able to move forward, right?
This is true. This is absolutely true.
How do we make sure we can make that decision safely?
So right now we know that if we moved forward with Bitbucket, it would be a safe decision. So this is the rock at the hard place. So GitLab has more, like I said, more of the sizzle, more of the curb appeal, more the kind of cultural zeitgeist of the developer community right now. And it's the open source option of the two, which is not a small thing. People care about being able to use an open source option. It's also the one that doesn't quite work yet, but that they're committed to making work. So from my point of view, by Nashville, we should be absolutely certain. And where we are now is Bitbucket's the default, but we want to give GitLab the chance to prove that maybe they really can be the right choice for us.
Is money a part of the equation on any of these?
Not in a significant way in terms of the decision-making process. Some of the teams have said that they'd be able to offer developer support or offer financial support for us in terms of sponsoring the integration process and things like that. But just because of the nature of what it is, it's really more about hitting those requirements.
So stay tuned, huh? We'll hear more by Nashville?
We'll hear more by Nashville or sooner. For sure.
So what is the timeline for moving over everything to the new workflow?
So that's going to depend on this sort of unexpected Hail Mary that's going on. I would say one way or another, we're going to get up to our elbows by the Nashville timeframe. There's already work kind of in progress and that can be done right now. Neil, do you want to talk about some of those things?
I mean, really, the way to actually test these things is to build integrations. So we're kind of doing some of the work as like a version zero tested out sort of thing. So we'll be able to salvage some code out of that and make it kind of production ready. Once we're at that point, some of the first things we'll see is just replacing the Git servers themselves, what's hosting the repositories. So it'll be pretty transparent. If we do it right, you won't notice that what's hosting the Git repositories has changed. And that's when we can start doing things like having the turning on the code browsing, nice syntax highlighting, replacing cget.drupal.org, and turning on pull requests as a supplement to issues. To get to that point, there's some things that we need to make sure Drupal.org is thinking about the same way as these tools, like, will all of our usernames fit into whatever restrictions the tools have? Do we need to ask people to change their Git username? How's password authentication going to work? We don't really like people using password authentication over SSH keys, but turns out passwords are easy and people use them. So making sure that that can work in some way, or we can if we have to turn it off, turn that off as gently as possible. So, a lot of making sure things keep working.
Well, exciting stuff. I know that as a developer, sometimes I am definitely averse to the current workflow, and I'm looking forward to anything that can be done to move this along in the right direction.
I think another way to put it is there's still going to be a human element and an educational element to onboarding new people into the community, even with new, more familiar tools.
Yeah, yeah. Computers aren't writing the software for us yet.
Thanks for coming on and telling us all about it, guys.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the invite. And yeah, thanks again to Lilibot for being a supporting partner and you know, funding the work that Neil and I and the rest of our team do. It really, it's the only thing that's going to make this possible. So.
Yeah, and right back at you, thanks to the Drupal Association for keeping the infrastructure running and keeping Drupal humming as a community. It takes a lot of work. You guys are under a lot of fire a lot. So I really, really appreciate it.